Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another wonderful day as He speaks to us in the heart. God is good. And as I study His Word, I see that He thinks of everything. There's nothing, He leaves no stone unturned. And He helps us in every way there is. Last time, we were looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to continue with the things that God has given on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the theme is we're observing how throughout Jesus' ministry, we're observing the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He always went to certain places and He did certain things when He got there. And he was doing things according to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. The prophet Zechariah shows us that the church is built not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And he had a vision of the seven candlesticks. I mean, the seven bowls on top of the two candlesticks. And the seven pipes pouring oil into them. And we see the handiwork of God in that representation. Isaiah chapter 11 tells us the different spirits. The seven spirits of God. So throughout Jesus' ministry, the Holy Spirit manifested Himself seven ways to Jesus to help Him do the work of the ministry in order to start and build the church, the people of God. Now, Jesus is also the Word of God, and the Word of God comes from the Holy Spirit. And He became flesh, and He became a man who taught us and died for us. Now, during His earthly ministry, He operated according to the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit, just like we do. And we do what He did. Now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 reads, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, offerings, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. That they may have glory of men. Verily, verily, well, verily I say unto you, they have their reward." You know, in earlier broadcasts, we made a distinction in the way that Lucifer did things and the way that Jesus does things. Lucifer made five statements in Isaiah chapter 14. How he expressed that he said he would exalt His throne above the clouds, the stars of God. He will sit also in the sides of the north. You know, he made all these five statements of the great things that he would do, how he would exalt himself and be like God. Now, these verses 1 and 2 here reminds me of that. The hypocrites, they sounded trumpets and made a big to-do about the alms that they gave. But Jesus, on the other hand, taught people where they were at. He used terms they could understand. You know, things that farmers could relate to, the common man could relate to, in order to help them get out of the misery of this world. And then He gave His leadership. Before He died for them, He washed their feet, so that they would not have a carryover of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, it stems from the leaven of Satan. It's the same thing and no different. But He said the leaven of the Pharisees because a religious mask was on the Pharisees, and a religious and deception, a mask of deception was on Herod. There's nothing wrong with being a king, and there's nothing wrong with being a Pharisee, but they had a twisted interpretation of the word of God, and they were evil people. Now, all Pharisees were not evil. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and there were others, I'm sure, that learned from Jesus Christ and got saved. But the ones that had him killed, they didn't get saved. They were evil. And they were no different than Lucifer. And there's in man's heart, men can sometimes desire things that's not right. And we come to the Lord like we are. And if we've been infected with the thoughts of the world, they don't just disappear all the time. Some things disappear because of a miracle that God does. And some things we have to work it out of our lives. In fact, most things that's wrong, we have to work it out of our lives. But when we get saved, we have no appetite for the evil things of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And Jesus here is teaching us how to deal with things from the heart. Now, he said, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you openly. And when you pray, you should not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, sometimes when we pray, we want our prayers to sound good and eloquent. There's nothing wrong with them sounding good, but the main thing is, what are we praying about? And do we really want answers or not? You know, are we honoring God or us? And that's what Jesus is dealing with here. You know, I pray for people all the time. Sometimes when they're sick and lying on the sick bed, I pray a prayer that's short and to the point with conviction. And then I tell them, I say, I don't pray all those long religious prayers. I pray to the point because I want you healed. Now, that's how I pray for myself, so that's how I pray for you, you know. And God loves us. And I admire people that pray for people and they get results. A friend of mine, Ray, he teaches in the Sunday school class. And he saw a man at a gas station and spoke to him. The man had a headache. Ray said, you mind if I pray for you? And he prayed for him. And then the man, his headache was gone. And Ray was going to tell him that sometimes it takes a minute. You know, you may be healed as you're driving off. Now, you can listen to this broadcast on 10. It's FS 1-10-29-17, where he talked to the man. And the man was healed. He said, you know, this is scary. And we talked about that yesterday. He talked about it in the Sunday school class. But it's a blessing when God's people go out and do the work of the ministry and lay hands on people. And, you know, we're here to represent Jesus Christ. And Ray was doing his job. That's how it should be. And he fully expects God to move. And, we don't control God, but we extend his hand when we lay our hand on somebody in his name to pray for them. And I thank God for every soul that receives healing and healing manifesting them. And the enemy don't want that around. So don't be afraid of it. Embrace your ability to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The word didn't say if you lay hands on the sick, they might recover. Or maybe they'll recover. It said they will recover, so that's what we need to expect. And the only time you shouldn't lay hands on people is if the Lord give you a check in your spirit not to. But if it's all right with the person that's sick and wanting healing, then by all means, lay hands on them and introduce them to the love of God and the power of God. Now, Jesus brings people, he helps through these teachings, he brings us back to the basics. In verse 6, he said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly." Now Jesus had to say all this because the people were geared up towards the Pharisees. They were taught under religious people exactly like he's telling them. The things he's telling them not to do, this is what they saw in the leadership positions at the synagogue. This is why the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount is designed to help people come out of the religious traditions. Now, people who never went to church, they don't have these concepts and problems. So if Jesus was talking directly to them and they were not under the leadership of the Pharisees and scribes and the Sanhedrin council, it'll be totally different. It would be more mild. He would say, love your brother. He wouldn't give him an extreme situation. He may not have even had to say, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Then again, maybe he would have, because men have a problem lusting out the women sometimes. And it needed to be said, but it may not have had to be as put as strong as it was. You see what I'm saying? Most people who pray that weren't around the Pharisees that made a big deal out of it. You know, we never saw people blow trumpets when they give alms or pray out loud and eloquent to impress people. But I know sometimes in church people do that. They go the extra mile in their efforts so that they'll look better. But not like the Pharisees did. So when you study the Sermon on the Mount, he's dealing with other things of the day that he was living in. And you have to take that into consideration, because he's preaching, he's instructing them, he's counseling them in the extreme. And the Holy Spirit, as he counsels you personally, is probably not, most things will not be in the extreme, because that's not the problem you have. You're not trying to do the concepts of the Pharisees. You're just trying to get your needs met. You're just trying to get healed if you're sick. You're just trying to get saved if you're lost. You're not real concerned about how you look before men. And in fact, it's kind of like the opposite. When people get prayer, they're nervous. They don't know what to expect. And they're not trying to be seen. They're trying to keep it private. So as we study these things, remember, he's talking in the extremes because these people were geared up wrong. All right. He said, verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." It's not the much speaking, it's the faith, and we know that. We've been trained better. We've been taught better. Verse 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." Verse 9, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Now this is something we need to be doing every day. We need to ask for the things we need every day. You know, if you're weak in a certain area of life, and you notice that I hadn't been the most patient person, just pray for it. That's part of your daily bread. If you're not as knowledgeable about things as you should be, pray for knowledge. That's part of your daily bread. Whatever daily need you have, that's part of your daily bread. Pray for it. If you've been having a problem with peace, not being at peace, pray for the peace. And ask the Lord to show you why you're not walking in peace. Ask him to teach you for the things you need the most. That's part of your daily bread. This is a this is not just a suggestion. He said, this is how you pray. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. So it's a commandment. Give us this day our daily bread. And it, even if it is bread, even if you got a loaf in the kitchen, it does include your food. But most of the time, you know, in our day, we got a refrigerator full of food. But whatever you need, your bread represents whatever you need. Remember that. And then he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we need to ask God, we owe God, and we need to ask him to forgive us of our sins and trespasses, and our, which are debts. And then if we are in debt, we need to pray for forgiveness of our debts and bless us to make more than enough so we can get rid of the debts, so we can pay them out. And we need to do right by people. If you owe somebody something, make sure they're paid. That's just part of it. Verse 13, and he said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you can ask the Lord to deliver you out of temptations. Now, the Holy Spirit led Jesus to be tempted of the devil because he had to face him. For the ministry's sake, you have to win internally. You can't go out here and do the work of the ministry and love the world somewhere. You got to get rid of your love for the world. And Jesus had no love for the world. But everything of God is tested before it's used. So Jesus had to go out there and whoop the devil and win. And then he started his ministry. And that's the same thing. If you don't have a mind to stand, and if you're not dedicated, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You're not fit for the ministry. But you're going to have to win in life. Now, with that in mind, the Word of God helps us do exactly that. We are actually called to give Satan no place. That's not a suggestion, that's a commandment. Give him no place in your life. Drive the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Amalekites out of your land and out of your heart. You know, just like Israel was supposed to drive those Canaanites out, all tribes out. They were supposed to all be gone. They made a deal with one tribe and they let some remain, and they became like smoke in their eyes and thorns in their sides. And that's what will happen to you if you don't drive out the things that hinder. So, assuming you've done that, then ask the Lord to lead you not into temptation, but deliver you from all forms of evil. From the thoughts, from the fiery dark thoughts, to the outward open actions. All evil, gotta go. And enjoy the presence of God. See, that sets the condition for the Holy Spirit to rest on you. And when that happens, my friend, it's like you got heaven on earth. And that's the first part of the prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven, so on earth. Now, when the Holy Spirit's resting on you, it doesn't bother you that Jesus takes his time returning to the earth, because you're in a bubble of faith. You got his peace. Everything you touch is working. Your children are blessed. Everything about your life can be blessed as the Holy Spirit rests on your life. And it's not because he's resting on you. It's because you love his counsel and you do what he say do. And your life becomes like heaven on earth. And wherever you go, it's going to prosper. Whatever you do, is you bring the life of God with you. And the same healing process that's happening in you, the same process of healing that's manifesting in your life, it takes form in everything you do. It gets in your conversation, it gets in your advice, your way of life, the way you conduct yourself. The healing process continues to grow. And then, I didn't even talk about the anointing yet. because that's coming. That's coming when you got those kind of foundational things in place. Now the Holy Spirit can give you an assignment, and you'll use the anointing to carry it out. And He will anoint you, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. He will anoint you and gives you gifts. Now the anointing is different from the gifts. The gifts assist the anointing, and the anointing helps you do the office. And you don't have to have an office to do the work of God. We all have the ministry of reconciliation, and you can be anointed to do a specific thing, not just fulfill an office. But in many cases, you're anointed to fulfill an office. But you know, there was a prophet that had four daughters that prophesied, and they didn't say that they were prophets in Acts, but they prophesied, and they were anointed to prophesy, yet they didn't have the office of a prophet. So you can be used of God as mighty as you'll yield to Him, and all these things will be certain and true in your life, and you'll change the facts in the area where you are. All right, now this is a very important one here. Verse 14, he ended the prayer, and then in verse 14, he starts teaching again. He said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Don't ever forget that. Unforgiveness can kick you out of the kingdom. We don't need to ever be in a position where God can't forgive us. And many times people read over this. If you know you haven't forgiven somebody, do it right now. And this is what I learned to do, and I talked about it before. As I was learning to love people, I found out that I'm going to need to forgive people. So instead of bracing myself against the disappointments of men, I braced myself to forgive. When I saw that they were about to aggravate me, I was already ready to forgive them. And I didn't even get mad. And I stayed in the joy of the Lord. And then, and if I did get upset with somebody, because sometimes I would, I quickly forgave them. And I'd pray for them. And if I aggravate people, I go get it right. And I try not to do that, because I don't want to. Sometimes you can aggravate people and not know it. I don't want to do that. I want to be a blessing to people. Now, when we're teasing each other at work just to make the day go by, that's we do that just for fun. No harm, no foul, no harm. And we crack on each other. No foul, no harm. But I'll never take it too far. And sometimes people try to take it too far. I say, no, we ain't, you know, I don't go there. But you know, in having fun, as long as everybody's laughing, we're good. Now, you know, I work with a bunch of guys, and that's how guys do. We have a good time all day. And you know, but if something gets out of hand, you got to watch the Holy Spirit. He'll keep you in check. That check in the Spirit lets you know, hey, this is too far. But if sometimes people they want to be in God's presence and they want to be very spiritual and they don't want to do anything. And they're afraid to do, like when the Lord first started dialoguing with me, I was afraid to watch TV because I didn't want things to go back to the way that they were before He was talking to me. And eventually I watched something on TV. It was a mild program, and I watched just something for fun, like the Lucy Show or something. And then there are movies I like Star Wars, things like that. And I'm saying, you know, Lord, is this harming me? I don't want it to go back to where I didn't hear from You for weeks. I want to hear from You every day, just like I'm doing. And then He explained something to me. The things that's wrong, they are listed. Fornication, adultery, all the no-nos of Galatians chapter 5 and things that Jesus said don't do, just don't do that. But he explained something. He said, some things are neither here or there. That's how he worded it. That's a term that I could relate to. That's not worth it. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to necessarily help you. But it's not a sin, and it's not evil. It's not going to bring you down. Now, we have to do things in moderation. You know, if you sit there day in and day out watching TV all day and all night and then go to sleep and you don't even pray, you don't even study, you're acting like the devil just left the planet. And he didn't. He's still here trying to figure out ways to aggravate your life. The Word of God helps us to grow and operate in the love of God and destroy the works of darkness. So, if I want to sit out for an hour or two and watch a movie or something, that God don't care. If I want to watch a movie for 4 hours, God don't care. But I'm not going to kill the day watching movies. I'm going to spend some time with my Father. And I don't keep record of how much time I spend with my Father and how much time I watch TV. Because TV is neither here or there. Going to a baseball game ain't wrong. It's neither here or there. Going to a football game. Now, sometimes they may have several games and one Saturday you want to watch. And you want to watch all of them. And you just binge watch football all day. But if that's not wrong. You've been studying the Word all week. Enjoy your football game. God ain't going to, you know, he's not keeping score how much you... You know how your life is. If you're not happy with the way things are going and you need his guidance, then you may want to pull away from the TV a little longer. But if everything's healthy and growing and you've been working hard all week and you've been doing the things of God, you've been a blessing to people, you need to unwind. You know, I believe Jimmy Swagger wouldn't have failed if he would have watched some football games. You've got to take a break. If whatever's your thing and it's not evil, then do it. Riding motorcycles is therapeutic. People that ride motorcycles live longer and better than people that don't, if they don't fall and hurt themselves. People who take a break along the course of their lives, they do better. Now, this is just common sense. But and when you do the things of God, you're more apt to obey Him. But when things are going to go wrong, saying people need us to forgive them. We need to walk in forgiveness. We need to do all the whole counsel of God. That needs to be our lifestyle and what we do every day. And the Lord is, He's fun to be around. We treat God like He's keeping score on our performance. He loves you, your performance. The things of God, the things that cause success, you need to do them because they cause success. They cause you to prosper and grow. And you're commanded to do it. Now, how you do it is up to you. But some things are beneficial. And the Lord wants what's best for you. He may even tell you to get off that couch and study the Word because he sees something. He sees a danger coming. He sees a temptation coming. He can see things. He can see an opportunity coming. And you're about to miss out on it because you're too involved with TV. So there are days that I just turn the whole thing off. And when he's trying to tell me something, I turn it off. I get out of TV mode. And I become a student. And I start talking to my Father. Because I want to be prepared for whatever He's trying to help me understand. And it might be something I really need. Or it may be something somebody else really need. He may need to talk to me so that I'll be prepared to say the right thing at the right time. It's all about love. It's not about duty and performance. But when it is, he'll show you. Success requires you to do certain things. Now, God's love doesn't change, is what I'm saying. He loves you the same whether you, no matter what you do, he loves you. He loves you for you. You want his favor, you got it. Now, just walk in his word. Do the things as wise. Being wise is better than being foolish. 100% of the time it is. But you got to take a break. And some things are neither here or there. You don't have to live in a box. The way to life is a narrow road. Broad is the way to destruction. That's true. But we in the kingdom of God, we live in his joy. And we can have his best. But the things that hinder, he'll warn us of it so that we can snap out of it. He'll help us walk right out of the world and stay out of the world. He'll help us see things the right way. And he'll bless us in every loving way there is. He loves us. He's concerned about every part of our life. And Jesus will help. He'll help us to have a beautiful life, great relationships, healthy children, healthy marriages, healthy friendships. And I thank the Lord for it. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.